Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Good morning, Chicagoland, and happy Easter to you. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN, and looking very spiffy this morning is newsman Mr. Dave Schwann. Dave,
well,
good morning.
I finally got it through my head that we're on TV when we do these radio
we
shows.
Are. So we are. We absolutely are. You'd be surprised. Roger's laughing. I hear him in the background. You'd be surprised at how many people are watching at WGNradio.com.
Yeah.
Every day.
That's just one of the facts of life, that radio is no longer radio. And even though those of us that have faces for radio
right,
have to adapt
exactly.
as best we can for a TV.
Well, you know what's nice to see is you wearing pants while you're doing a newscast.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Come on, man. It's Easter Sunday.
It is Easter Sunday. It is Easter Sunday.
And happy Easter to you and the family, Dave.
Thank you very much. I was telling Roger in the beginning of the show that my plane, I was in Florida for a chunk of the week.
What happened.
Flew in at 1, and it was 2.5 hours late because of the weather in Florida. And I was able to get a very crabby, tired 3-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, and my lovely wife home safe, car unpacked, and I made it down here for crosstalk.
Man, you are something else.
I can't believe
you
it,
are
actually.
Something else.
I'm a little shocked.
You've had a long day today, too.
Yeah, you know, I'm playing some masses at my church. I play the piano, I play the organ, and then we got a bunch of people coming over for Easter brunch, so
it'll be a good day.
It'll be a fabulous day. I'm just going to take a nap. I said, you know, we watch Ben-Hur like around Easter every year. I love that classic movie with Charlton Heston.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
It's 4 hours.
Yeah.
It used to be on like the ABC or the WLS
right.
3:30 movie over 3 days or something. You'd watch just a little bit.
They would show either Ben-Hur or the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
During Easter weekend. Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to make it through the first hour. Because that'll be sometime tonight when everybody leaves my home.
Well,
so
you would be doing better than me. I don't know if I'd make it through the first 15 minutes or
yeah.
so.
Yeah, great movie.
As compelling a story as
right.
it is.
Right,
know.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know, there's a lot of history with Easter that we're going to talk about. But the first thing and the oldest thing is in 1869, Isaac Hodgson received a patent number 88,711 for the roller skate, Dave.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It was 1869 when the roller skate. So the wheel was around for a long time.
Yeah,
but they just
I think
decided
so.
To put it on a little platform.
In a way, he was reinventing it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, Chicago's famous roller skating rinks, the Hub and the Axle, is probably one of the bigger ones that people do remember. The Hub was opened back in the early it was in the 1940s, and it was supersized, you know, for a roller skating rink. There was a giant Wurlitzer pipe organ there as well. The skating area was about 270 feet long, about 95 feet wide. It had, you know, all kinds of styles of skating. There was a foxtrot, the couples only, the waltz, of course. The rink was open every night, had Saturday matinees and Sunday matinees. Weekends always found huge crowds who never even put on a pair of skates. The lobby area was almost as big as the ice or the skating rink itself. And I remember that snack bar. Actually, it became the Axle, you know, I believe in 1974. I was in high school in the early 80s. I remember going to the roller rink and that being a big hangout.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Now you on the as being a member of the Broadcast Communications Museum mm-hmm. here, you may know this, but what used to be CBS, WBBM, when they were on McClurg Court, that was a roller rink at one time.
I know it was an old barn. So was it a roller rink after it was a barn?
Yeah,
so to speak?
It was a roller skating rink, and then they had the obvious space where they could, you know, build and install TV studios, and of course, that's where the historic Nixon-Kennedy debates were held.
I did not know that was a roller skating rink.
Now,
where you grew up, did you have a roller skating rink you went to?
Well, we had a roller skating rink. I didn't go to it because I put roller skates on once, and I got up and went right back down.
The old Ralph Cramden. Everybody skate.
Exactly. Yeah.
As Texter 574 says to me.
We did. We had a roller skating rink, and we had indoor and outdoor ice skating in winter.
That's cool.
As well.
That's cool. Yeah, there's the best rinks in the city. The Rink Fitness Factory is on 87th Street, opened in 75, still open. Glenwood Roller Rink, the Rich City Roller Rink. Honorable mentions included the MLK Entertainment Center on 76th, the Fleetwood in Argo, Illinois, Markham Roller Rink in Markham, Lombard Roller Rink, and the Linwood Roller Rink as well. There's also the Orbit Roller Rink in Palatine. So they're still open. You can still get out there and do your all skate. That's a lot of fun.
Everybody skates.
Everybody skate. That's right. 1878, the White House Easter Egg Roll was introduced. Now, do you remember who introduced it? Which president, Dave?
I want to say Grover Cleveland.
President Rutherford B.
Hayes. Okay.
Yeah, it was
all
Hayes.
Right, I was a little off.
Yep. By the mid-1870s. Well, it was, all started in, the original site was the grounds of the United States Capitol, actually. And by the mid-1870s, the egg-rolling activities on the West Terraces had gained notoriety as the children turned the Capitol grounds into their Easter morning playground. I'm sorry. It was first held during the administration of President Andrew Johnson. It was Rutherford B. Hayes that took it to the White House and made it a national tradition.
Okay.
And you can actually go online at thewhitehouse.org and you can actually see pictures from one of the first Easter egg.
Wow.
Rolls. It's pretty cool.
I wonder what it takes these days to get to be a part of that, because I know President Obama still continues that tradition.
He does, and it's done on Monday, Easter Monday.
Easter Monday.
It's done. It's not done on
Easter
Sunday.
So it's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. It is tomorrow. Let's see here. 1889, Charles Hall patented an inexpensive method for the production of aluminum, which brought the metal into wide commercial use. That was 1889. The first dishwasher that same year was marketed here in Chicago. It was an 1850 machine that's, there was an 1850 machine that simply splashed water on dishes and it really doesn't clean them. But in 1886, this first mechanical dishwasher wire components held dishes, which were sprayed with hot soapy water. The wheel was turned by using a hand crank outside the machine. And though it worked, only hotels and large restaurants bought her dishwashers. It wasn't until the 1950s that dishwashers were sold to the American public. Now, the person that invented this started a company, and that company eventually became KitchenAid.
That was our very first dishwasher.
Yeah.
A KitchenAid.
A KitchenAid dishwasher.
And it was actually something that you could store, mm-hmm. as I recall. It was on wheels, and you could actually roll it over to the sink.
That's right.
And connect a hose to the sink where you got the hot water.
Yeah, it wasn't part of your cabinetry.
Right,
it
wasn't
like
hardwired into with hot water running directly into it.
Correct.
That came later.
Correct. 1891, the Wrigley Company is founded in Illinois. What did they sell before gum, Dave? Do you remember? You won't remember, but
I won't remember. It
was soap and baking powder.
Soap and baking powder.
And they began giving gum out as like a freebie with the baking powder, and the gum became so popular it took over. Hmm. And that's what Wrigley is known for.
Eventually they got out of the soap and baking powder business.
Yes, they did.
Because the gum was more profitable.
Yeah, it was more profitable to them. More popular, absolutely.
Thus more profitable for the dentist.
I am sure. Especially the sugar-free,
that's what
I would think.
Well, that came later.
That did come later.
But, in the early days, that was massive sugar in there.
1902, the Electric Theater, the first full-time movie theater in the United States, opened in L.A.
Really?
Called the Electric Theater.
The Electric Theater.
1902, where you can go watch a movie with other people.
Let's see, 1902, that would have had to have been before Edison
born.
Did, well, yeah, barely. But the Great Train Robbery.
Yeah.
That was before Edison's movie, The Great Train Robbery.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool. All the way back then.
1902.
1938, Baseball Hall of Fame opens in Cooperstown, where I know you've been to many times. I've been there once, but You've always provided some great photos. Yeah.
Thank you. And again, as I've said before, there's something for everyone there. It's just a wonderful place to visit. Not only the museum, but the town itself.
Absolutely.
Just great.
Throwback.
Yeah.
It's a throwback. 1948, WGN Television, Channel 9 in Chicago begins broadcasting. Remember that? That was the on-air song that they used to play.
Yeah.
And you know what it was?
It was an old Roger Whittaker song.
It was an old Roger Whittaker song. That I remember?
There's a ship lies rigged and ready in the harbor.
I remember seeing those like on get Roger Whittaker's greatest hits for only $7.99 when you mail now. P.O. Box, which $5.99 shipping and handling. That's the only time I ever heard Roger Whittaker songs was actually in a commercial.
Yeah, and he was by himself on a stage singing.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes, right. He was with a spotlight, with a single spotlight.
Right.
I totally remember those. Oh, my gosh. Let's see here. 1955, Richard J. Daley, elected mayor of Chicago. Richard Joseph Daley was an American politician who was the mayor for 21 years, chairman of the Cook County Democratic Central Committee for 23, holding both positions until he died in office in 1976. Daley was Chicago's third Chicago mayor in a row from the working class, heavily Irish, American Bridgeport neighborhood on Chicago's south side. Mayor Daley, sworn in 1955.
There was some wonderful footage I saw many years ago on, again, CBS. Remember John Madigan?
Yeah.
Doing the At Issue program?
Yeah, oh,
there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
After the first Mayor Daley first won that election, they brought in the family. And, of course, that included Richard M. Daley in there as a little boy of, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years old. You know, little did we know that fought like father, like son, we were going to,
That's
a
cool.
Future mayor
yeah.
was on that. You
yeah.
know, we had the family in to talk about what a wonderful victory it was.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot more to talk about, and we'll do that after a break next on 720 WGN.
Hippity hopping up and down the trail. Oh, 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 that is my little bunny. Da, la, 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 da. He's the king of rabbit town. Look at Peter Cottontail. Hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hopping on his merry way. Peter Cottontail.
Dave Plair and Dave Schwann with This Week in History. Now, this is this is the original Peter Cottontail that was played on Fraser Thomas's Garfield Goose and Friends, produced by Centaur Productions. Same folks that produced Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake.
Frosty the Snowman.
And Frosty the Snowman, the UPA artist. And this one, Fraser didn't play much past the 50s and 60s, but still a classic. Still on the DVD collection that the museum sells with all those classic shorts at museum.tv. And I think Dave Marzullo is going to post it on the WGNRadio.com page later this morning as well, so you could take a look at it. But it's done very much like the Frosty the Snowman was.
Yeah, same type of arrangement stylistically.
Except violence hits because Peter Cottontail's tail shot off. So let's take a little lesson to the rest of this.
Look out! Look out! Everyone knows for miles around, he's the king of Rabbit Town. Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, happened to stop for carrots on the way. Peter Cottontail, something told him it was wrong. Farmer Jones might come along. What an awful price he'd have to pay. Poor bunny. But he knew his legs were faster, so he nibbled three or four. And he almost met disaster when he heard that shotgun roar. That's how Peter Cottontail.
Good gravy. The children love that part.
You have your cap gun ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here comes Peter Cottontail from the 1950s, Centaur Productions.
That one I had not heard in many years.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we play Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Frosty the Snowman at Christmas, but Peter Cottontail, that's That's a real throwback. Haven't heard that in a long time.
When we digitally remastered all those, that one was probably in the worst shape because it just hadn't been played in a long time.
And it was just sitting deteriorating.
Deteriorating, absolutely. A more serious note, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Let's listen to the news report with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene. Officers also reportedly chased and fired on a radio-equipped car containing two white men. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. In the friend's words, the bullet exploded in his face. Police, who have been keeping a close watch over the Nobel Peace Prize winner because of Memphis' turbulent racial situation, were on the scene almost immediately. They rushed the 39-year-old Negro leader to a hospital where he died of a bullet wound.
1968. 1980, the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific Railroad operates its final train after being ordered to liquidate its assets due to bankruptcy and debt owed to creditors. In 2003, in the middle of the night, Mayor Daley ordered city bulldozers to carve a huge X onto the runway of Meigs Field. Flights ready to land later that morning had to divert to another airport, and the FAA fined the city $33,000 for lack of notice. Northerly Island, owned by the Chicago Park District, is the only lakefront structure to be built based on Daniel Burnham's 1909 plan of Chicago. And it was used for the World's Fair in 1933 and officially became an airport in 1948.
Not only did they get fined, but Dave, think about the pilots who had their private plane still parked there.
Yeah.
At Meigs Field.
Right.
And couldn't get them out.
I remember seeing
one person being interviewed on Monday afternoon, you know, the following day, and him saying, "How am I going to get my plane out of here?
Yeah.
I cannot take off."
Yeah. So. I mean, it was a bold move to shut it down, and he did all right. Let's take a listen to a quick news report on that.
30 years old, and it's already a museum relic. Today, a 727 jet made its final landing en route to retirement at the Museum of Science and Industry. But it was a landing that had never been tried before. Channel 5 aviation reporter Jim Tillman tells us how it was done.
First, you find the right pilot, one like Captain B.C. Thomas, test pilot, United Airlines. You pick a beautiful fall day. You invite the public, the press, and just to be safe...
It's a little news report on Meigs Field.
It's the final flight for this proud bird, so why not take a look-see, a low pass?
That sounds like...
Jim Tillman.
Yeah, Jim Tillman, but that's the report on the plane going into the Museum of Science and Industry.
That's what it was, yeah. From Meigs Field. Yep, that's exactly what that was. Then we had this week an unfortunate tragedy in show business. So Gary Shandling it's Gary Shandling Show and the Larry Sanders Show, made a 911 call to say that he was having a health situation and didn't make it through the call and passed away at the age of 66. Earlier in the month, he had arranged to bring the Larry Sanders Show, the Encores, back to HBO, where it hasn't been seen in its original format for years. And I will tell you, I rank that show in the top 10 as far as the Dick Van Dyke shows, the Seinfelds, the Curb Your Enthusiasms. You know, it was one of those shows that really crossed a lot of boundaries for back then and took you behind the scenes of a talk show. Did you watch that show?
I did.
Yeah.
And not only I agree with you completely, but it was a brilliant parody of, you know,
The Tonight Show.
What goes on. The Tonight Show.
It was.
What goes on behind the scenes of a situation like that and all of the... goings on among the players in you know, behind the scenes and on the air. It was hilarious.
It was every week, and every week had guest stars. And again, you'll be able to rediscover it on HBO. I pulled a clip.
By the way, they're out on DVD now.
They are.
What was so weird, Dave, was I was in a store last Sunday afternoon and saw the package of that, and then Gary Shandling dies this week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And. There's so many episodes to choose from. I picked one from one of the first in the first season where, you know, Hank Kingsley, who was the Ed McMahon sidekick on the Larry Sanders Show, played by Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And It was kind of a Johnny Ed McMahon type of relationship.
Hey now. And,
exactly. Hey now. And Jeffrey Tambor's character, Hank, walks into the office because Larry and Artie, played by Rip Torn, brilliantly played by Rip Torn, they're making fun of him.
There
because
are some words we cannot say.
No. In fact, we had to edit a lot of this. But he came in because they were giving him crap about the mistakes he would make on the air. And this one was about... the Judds had broken up, and so there was only one Judd, but he introduced her as the Judd.
The Judd.
among other things. And then he talked about chipping his tooth on the urinal. Let's take a listen.
Let's make fun of her.
Okay, Hank, I'm sorry.
No. In fact, why don't you just laugh in my face? I mean, you might as well do it now. You and Artie do it every time I turn my back.
That is not true, Hank.
She was half the Judds! Now there's just one of them! So she is a Judd. She is a single Judd.
Mother was ill.
What about the time I chipped my tooth on the bathroom urinal? Huh? What the so comical Ooh. About that?
It was a back tooth, Hank.
It was a back tooth he chipped on the urinal. It was a funny show, and Gary Shandling, of course, will be missed. This Week in History.